First John chapter 5. Now let's go start at 4:7. I gotta start earlier to make this understandable. Leprosy, as you all know, as we've talked about, the two kinds of leprosy spoken of in the scripture. One is just leprosy, and it's little spots of stuff. It's the spot by which there are no spots or wrinkles, or one of the spots. And it's leprosy is, the regular leprosy is typified as in the spirit as slander, the brethren, slander of people. Now, for many of you, I'm talking about the real you, not, I'm talking about the closet you, not the face you've given to the world. All you have ever done is slander.
What's slander?
You tell me, what comes to your mind if I say slander?
I know it in the context of literary, like in newspaper, when they say something wrong about somebody else.
Okay, so.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's slander is to speak down.
Yeah. It's
accuse. It's accuse to speak down about someone.
But it's, in a way it's worse than accuse because it's not face to face.
That's right. It's normally, the slander is normally,
either to yourself or to
somebody
else that's not that person.
Yeah, but it's also most of the slander that you have been guilty of is about yourself.
Yeah, it's like
but the evidence that you've slandered yourself is that you slander others. You speak down and you accuse, and you do it in the name of some kind of racial thing, or you do it in the name of humor, or you do it in the name of I'm not judging you, brother, I'm just a fruit inspector. You know, all of the things, thousands and thousands and thousands of ways that you slander. Now again, it's hard to know what slander is if that's all you've ever known. Well, I never said that. No, but you thought it. Or you acquiesced to it. Slander can be passive as well as active. Slander is the work of the accuser of the brethren. And the fruit or the expression in this, from the spirit of the slander is leprosy. Now, you don't see it externally, but most of your slander, what I want to get you to tonight, is almost all of your slander has been directed towards yourself. You have been your own accuser. That's the only reason you accuse others, because you accuse yourself, you judge yourself, you accuse it, you judge yourself down. You understand? We don't want to do that anymore, for any reason. I mean, there is no thing that you could have done in your entire life for which at this moment you have the right to judge yourself or slander yourself. There is no state of being that you think you are in whereby you have the right to slander yourself. That letter from Tyra was an example of her subconsciously slandering herself her entire life. Now the whole world has leprosy, every member of the human race. And all what we know of humanity is collections of leper colonies. That's what God sees when he looks at the human race. Can you see that? Now, the worst kind of leprosy is the leprosy of the forehead that we've talked about. And that's the leprosy that appears in the front part of your head or in the forehead. And that is slander or rebellion against God. Now, the way that you rebel against God isn't like you think, oh, God, you're a dummy, I'm rebelling. That's not the way you rebel. The way you rebel against God is for you to believe or for you to think that there is a thought that you have that doesn't originate in the blood of Christ. And the moment you are in that condition where you say, this is of God and this isn't of God, you are slandering Him because you've made the cross of Christ of none effect. Now, the test of all of this, and that's leprosy, by the way, the worst kind of leprosy, because in that leprosy of the forehead, you are condemned to be utterly alone. And that's where you've been. You've spent your life, your lives, utterly alone. Now, the opposite of being utterly alone is love. But not love like we've thought about it. It's a particular word, agapo, or agapeo in the Greek, and it's the highest form of love that there is. And it's the exact opposite of alone. Hate isn't the opposite. Well, alone, you spend a lifetime trying not to be alone. Nothing you've ever done has worked. And the reason it doesn't work is if you have leprosy of the forehead, you're condemned by the Spirit of God to be alone. So nothing can change that aloneness. You got it? Now, I've told you before that the only places, there's only a few places, everybody has leprosy, but you can't see leprosy if you're in the world. You can't see leprosy in the wilderness. And leprosy is impossible in Jerusalem or in the New Jerusalem. Begin to review. All of the human race is born in the world. When the plagues hit and you start making bricks without straw and everything you do fails, then God takes you across the Red Sea in baptism. And you wander in the wilderness until you're shed of the grave clothes of religion and of the grave clothes of the world, and then you can enter the promise. The only time that leprosy can be seen is the distance from the border of the promise to Jerusalem. All right, this is review for some of you, but now in you, leprosy can now be seen. And that's a great blessing. The reason is that your true heart's desire since the time you were the smallest child was love. And the only place, the greatest enemy of love, is leprosy. Because leprosy of the forehead, or any leprosy, provides no opportunity for expression of love. So for you, love is impossible, your heart's desire, until you know that you're totally leprous. Am I communicating? As I talked about a little bit last night, the reason that we have never talked about love, for the most part, in the body, in this group, is because love cannot be known until you see your leprous. Otherwise, your love, or what you think is love, is simply a disguise for self-love. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of leprosy and our heart's desire, which is love, are totally and completely intertwined. Who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it? That God in his mystery would have said the only ones that are capable of love in the human race are the ones that are totally leprous from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Everything else in your life has simply been a mirror, and you've called it love. Everything. In the mirror. It's amazing. It's amazing how you can con yourself when you look in the mirror. Oh, I'm better than that leper. I still got my thingy. My ear. Okay, now we can begin to see a hope for love. Now let's go to 1 John. I said all that stuff. First John 4:4.
It's 4:7.
Just.
That wasn't very loving.
No.
What?
It wasn't very loving.
Oh, she left.
Remember, you weren't hoes.
No. Businessmen wear this kind of stuff.
And why am I wearing it?
You're great.
You just socks.
That was a beige body stuff. Looked like some cordos.
1 John 4:4.
4:4.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, all that Satan is, or the Antichrist, or the prince of the power of the air, he is the god of leprosy. And that's why Christ, in his temptation, he took Christ in a moment of time and showed him all the kingdoms of the world of all time, including this one. And he said, all this has been delivered over to me, and whomsoever I will give it. And Christ didn't disagree with that. He said, great, you can have the leper colony. Everything in this world, from this standpoint, from this look, is a leper colony. You have spent a lifetime trying to emulate lepers. Well, that leper has a really good job. I won't get into your sexual proclivities with lepers, but or mine. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? In this context, what we're looking at, you have overcome the lepers. Not because you've been healed of leprosy, but because you've been cleansed of it. Two different things. You're only cleansed of it when you see that you have it, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And it's great in the Talmud. I spent all day reading the Talmud. And so they've got these great these sections of the Talmud that describe how you look to see the leprosy. And how really explicit does the priest have to get when he's trying to find the spot of the leprosy? And for, you know, for a woman, it has to be that they investigate the underarm area and the breast. She doesn't come before them totally naked, but for the priest's inspection, it's a part at a time. And she has to lift her arm to a certain height that she would use if she were weaving. And her one breast at one time as though she were feeding a child. And then the other arm, and then the other breast. And then bending over as though she were doing something else. And I mean, there's a whole liturgy of examinations to make sure that the woman doesn't have leprosy. And the same with the man. Now, in a very real sense, what they were doing, what you are doing, some of you are still doing it in a real way. You're still taking a look at the Lamb of God, and you're seeing if he is perfect. You're seeing if he has any leprosy. To see whether it's a suitable sacrifice. Now, I mean, this is wild stuff.
It's like the everyday activities, you know, or the places where it's revealed.
That's right.
Like, that's why they have it in there, like that. Yeah, weaving,
exactly right.
Whatever you're doing.
You're normal.
You'll see it.
Yeah. It's in the whole, it's like 30 pages of the Talmud in very small print. I had to get glasses, probably. It's these phenomena. It's that, and it's exactly what John said. It's your minutia of your daily activity is where you're seeing whether or not you have leprosy. It's not in your religious activity. So you've spent a lifetime trying to hide the leprosy. You've become experts at it. Oh, I couldn't say that. If you thought it, you have leprosy. The only time you can't be healed. Leprosy is incurable. But you're healed. You're cleansed the moment you see, in agreement with the high priest, that you're leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet in every arena of your life. Then the mystery takes place. Now, for the first time in your life, you can love. Doesn't matter what you've done before. Doesn't matter how many credentials you have. Can you imagine the leper? I mean, it's funny. I mean, we're working on Louis' bio, but can you imagine a leper bio? You know, I mean, his leper resume. We're writing a Louis the leper resume. But as long as he knows he has leprosy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, then the priest can pronounce him and say, "Now you are clean." If you don't know you have leprosy, the priest knows. Okay. Number 5, chapter 4, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's why our BS detectors are getting very attuned. You know, the Bible calls it discernment, but your BS detector is getting very attuned. What?
Discernment.
She's our nice monitor. That's nice.
It's been pretty
good. This is real nice.
You wouldn't believe how nice it is.
The idea that you can no longer hear
the world stuff. I mean, when somebody starts talking about the world, can you, I mean, let's face it. Okay, I've made a decision. We are going to start marching for something. I mean, you'd laugh me out of the place, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no thing that we could start. I mean, I couldn't. There's no thing that you could be taken in on about a world.
We're going to march.
Cause.
We're going to march for the Democrats to include abandonment of self in their political.
You're right. But that's the test. That's what God says is the test. If they're speaking about the world, they are of the world. And the world heareth them. Because, again, lepers can only hear lepers. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. That's the most arrogant statement in the Bible. If you don't hear us, you're not of God. Because you're still a leper. Your ears have not been circumcised. You're still hearing with the ears of a leper. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Flat statement, declarative sentence. No worrying about ecumenicism. Is that the word?
Well,
did I say that right?
Ecumenicism.
I said that.
It's not exactly what you said.
Hey, but I hear you.
Yeah, really. It was close.
I heard you.
What did he say?
What? Beloved.
Cynicism.
They're twisting the message.
The doctor.
What do you
say? Beloved, let us love one another. And that word there is agapeo. The highest form of love. That means the love that says, I am fulfilled when you are fulfilled. What happens to me is totally unimportant if I meet your need. And then in that stupid, God messed up. I wouldn't have done it like this. I would not have made it so that my heart's desire is fulfilled if your need is met. Now that's dumb. Can you imagine the world a leper colony will build? Yeah, look around you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, the human race cannot love. A human being cannot love. It's only one that is born of God can love. You understand and believe that? As we talked about, when you're in the wilderness, in the spirit, you only love the ones in your tribe. I mean, because you're running around trying to protect yourself all the time. But when you enter the promise, love is unconditional. Doesn't matter whether anyone responds to you, doesn't matter whether anyone pays attention to you, doesn't matter whether anyone does anything. From that point forward, in the promise, you love your neighbor in the same way you used to love yourself. All the law is fulfilled in this one word. love your neighbor as yourself. If I ever told you to do anything that you could do, I wouldn't be preaching. You understand? Love your neighbor as yourself is an impossible command until you know you're leprous. Okay. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and has sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that word ought there doesn't mean it's an optional thing. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now again, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now that's kind of a weird statement. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Well, I know a lot of people that confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Does that mean everybody that runs around and says with their mouth, Jesus is the Son of God? What does it mean? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Whenever you see the there in the Greek, the definite article, it means a unique condition, an exclusive condition. Do you know how rare it is for someone to confess that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, the only begotten of God? It's as rare as somebody that believes in one God. The only one that can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the leper that has been healed, that has been cleansed. Otherwise, you will believe that you are born of God. You will place God's identity on your flesh. Am I communicating? Yeah. This is the horizon point. You as a leper cannot be healed. You cannot be made clean. Be made fit. You can't be fixed up by your eyes. If you don't see that, then you will believe that you and Jesus are born of God. And you will secretly believe that your name is written in the book of life, and that you and Jesus are going to walk hand in hand in some imagined heaven, some idyllic state of being. You will believe all the fairy tales. And what you automatically believe is that Jesus Christ succeeded after the flesh in his mission. That's why this idea of believing that Jesus Christ is the, again, definite article, we miss it in the Greek,
It's the only, the unique, the exclusive Son of God is the rarest thing in the world. You can't just sit, you understand? All of you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, and you again, to take the attack we're looking at now, if you don't know that you are totally leprous, you will believe you are the Son of God or the child of God. And you will miss the mystery. All right. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Again, this is where you guys always get messed up. For you, the word perfect creates an imagined, idyllic situation whereby you have created the state of being that you think that word means. Perfect. If I said perfect and asked every one of you to define it, you'd say I would have to have an object for the test. I mean, object for the perfection in order for you to define it. You understand me? If I asked the human race to define perfect, they'd say, well, what do you mean? What should be perfect? I think I'm talking to the wall tonight.
I didn't understand that last time.
Yeah, I didn't.
If I say to you that the word, what does perfect mean? You may know what I'm going to say next, but deep in your gut, in your closet, you will say, well, perfect what? There has to be an object for the perfection. Perfect male, perfect female, perfect diamond, perfect way of behaving, perfect this, perfect that. Do you understand me? That's the way your mind works, because, I mean, it's just the way the human mind works. The spiritual, and this meaning here of perfect, is a word that you can say about, and you will never ever need a definition or an object of it. The word perfect here means fully tested. Everything in the universe has been thrown at it, and it has passed the test. Therefore, there is only one thing that can meet that state of being. Teleos is the word. And the only thing that is teleos, the only possibility of anything meeting the test, of everything in the universe coming against it, and still being fully tested, and it hasn't departed and disappeared and rusted, is Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter in what context I say that word. If I say perfect or perfected, there's only one object of that word. And that isn't you. But by the mystery of God, it's what you contain. Now, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, if you want something, if you want to play the childish games of meditation, just sit around and meditate on something, then for a time, sit around and meditate on that scripture, the last half of it. As he is, so are we in this world. You'll never... There is no fear in love, but perfect love, or perfected love, or teleos love, tested love, has casteth out all out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect, or yet made perfect, or yet fully tested in love. There's one of you that fear, that don't fear. Why? Why do you still fear something? You fear illness, you fear financial ruin, you fear snakes. Whatever it is you fear, it means that it hasn't yet been tested. Now, does that mean that you have to be tested in every one of the possibilities of the things that you can fear? No, but the body does. Each one of you are filling up the afflictions. That simply means that each one of you are bringing into a new creation, a testing that you have done. Perfected fear, perfected love is cast out all fear. Perfected fear, then, is impossible. All right. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, now here we come. God always has to stick these in here. Okay, I love God. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now, again, to complete the deal that we're talking about, you can do nothing but hate your brother until you see that you're totally leprous. You can do nothing but withhold from your brethren until you see that you are totally leprous. You will always automatically protect yourself. And there will be death in your life. That's what leprosy is walking death. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, he who loveth God, love his brother. Also.
You know, whenever you're saying this, this thing, you know, whatever, get into a place in your fear, and it seems like whoever you're talking to, like, across a great distance. You never can get really near somebody when you're in a weird place, and they're way over there, and, you know, in that, I mean, I know the opposite, you know, in the being vulnerable, it's like you're standing right next to them. And it's, and I thought about this way these things happen at work sometimes. It's like I have some fear revealed, and then all of a sudden I feel like I'm really talking across a great distance with this other guy I work with. I can't even get close to him.
Because the Holy Spirit, there's something that took place in your life, and you have made a judgment about it that I shouldn't be in this capacity or position.
Yeah.
Therefore, the all-white condition of your leprosy is turned, and raw flesh has appeared, and then in instant, you're out of the camp.
Why do we think that, you know, like some act of failure about work? I mean, what happened?
Because you're tested where you think your identity is.
Okay.
If you think your identity is in your work, then that's where you'll be tested. If you think your identity is in your persona, then you'll be tested there. If you think your identity is in whatever it is, you will always be tested with failure at the point where you think your identity is. The thing that I want to, you know, I wanted to start studying way down at 5-6, but the thing that I want you to see for a moment is that we have all grown up with a mental impression of what the word love means. And we have a perverted view of love. And because of that perversion is a evidence of our leprous condition. We think that love is the vehicle by which you will no longer be separate. That's not true. And so, but because of it, you end up in this condition whereby you're always, but if you believe that, then for you, love always has to be conditional. The very opposite is true. That you cannot even know what love is until you know you're leprous. And again, in a spiritual sense, that's why the only place love, God love, can be known is in the New Jerusalem. The place in the promise where there is absolutely no leprosy allowed.
Romantic love is idyllically at three levels. It's body, soul, spirit. Now, the problem here is that the world and even Christianity makes no differentiation between soul and spirit. In the world's eyes, soul and spirit are one. You understand? And so, I'm just talking about what idyllically the situation is. In romantic love, it's body, soul, and spirit. The family love is, it idyllically now, even in the most ideal situation, it excludes the body, unless you're weird, and it's soul and spirit. Friend love is soul and spirit. And that's why we have all these cliches about, you know, a friend, a true friend is one who knows everything about you and likes you anyway, and a friend doesn't see your faults, and, you know, on and on and on. A neighbor love is spirit only. That's why in the world, in the Gentile world, in every place except Israel, it's impossible to have a neighbor. Did John talk to me there when John talked about this? It's a pretty neat way of looking at it. Now, we've talked for years now about the meaning of the Good Samaritan parable. I've told you that the reason that Jesus redefined the neighbor is the one in need, right? We've talked about that 400 times. The only way you can see your neighbor is to close your eyes. And then your neighbor automatically is the one nearest you, and you can do nothing but see his need. Even to the extent, if it was Jesus Christ standing next to you. The mystery of God is that Jesus Christ constantly emptied himself of his being, so that he was always in a state of need. You understand?
Yeah.
So the neighbor is now, we've got to become blind in order to understand what I'm going to talk about. Now we can understand what Jesus said about he that is blind is the only one that sees. Now, therefore, the only place that you can have a neighbor, the only time you can have a neighbor, and love in spirit, pure spirit, is in the New Jerusalem. It's the only time you can have a neighbor is when you have seen that you're leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now, once you have broken through this barrier of spirit, which you can only do with spirit, by neighbor, then this condition here, romantic family and friend, which you, it's been impossible for you to break through. You've done everything to try to have romantic love. You've done everything to try to make your family work. You've done everything to try to keep friends. All of it ends up in failure, and you try to act. Right? And you try to tolerate. And you try to do all these weird soul things that never work. You never quite get it right. The reason is because you didn't know you had leprosy. Now, once you know you have leprosy, now you can love your neighbor as yourself. Once you do that, you've broken through the hymen.
Amen.
The spiritual hymen. Now, once you've broken through that, then there's a break here. Now, automatically, now, for the first time, you can have a friend.
Yeah.
Now, for the first time, can you have a family. And now, for the first time, can you truly have romantic love.
It's in the opposite order that the world puts it in. It's like,
right,
you want to do romantic love first, and then you think you'll have a family, and then you think you'll have a friend.
You understand me? But the only time you can know this is when you know you are a leprous. Everything else is soul power. Aren't you tired of soul power? Trying to generate the fires. Trying to make it work. Trying to get it right.
Liturgy. Yeah.
Now we can finally begin to talk about love. After all these years. Because I think I can have unanimity. That you're a bunch of lepers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any spot you don't think you have leprosy? Well, bend over.
But he didn't cuss, Marjorie.
That's really worse than cuss.
Yeah, but he's getting pretty close.
Now, what is the attraction of pornography?
I like it.
Why? All is, well, from a male standpoint, most pornography is the body. It's interesting, but from a female standpoint, yeah, female pornography is the soul.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, all of the romanticism, romantic novels, yeah, all of the Harlequin Press has made, well, it's Ideal Press, but Harlequin Books has made a fortune. Because they recognized female pornography. And that's acceptable. Male pornography isn't. But it's all, from the spiritual standpoint, it's homosexual. Because it allows you to have an alone fantasy after your image. Even if it's a member of the opposite sex. For a female, most of her homosexuality is in the soul. For a male, most of his homosexuality is in the body. It doesn't matter whether you call what you're doing, whether you know, it's all searching for loving your neighbor. Am I communicating a little bit?
Yeah.
But you can't get there from here because you're leprous. You can't see your leprosy in the world, so you have to leave the world. You can't see your leprosy in the wilderness. The world is where you have options. I can do this, and hallelujah, I can do anything I want to, but I've got options. The wilderness is when God so ordered your life, you have no options.
No place to cleanse yourself, no place to cover
you. You don't even see anything.
Yeah, it's just you got no options.
No options. Then you finally begin to enter the promise. And you have no doubt. Now, you enter the New Jerusalem. You not only have no doubt, you have no state of being other than joy and love. Now, for the first time in your life, you can love. When you start it, you love your neighbor as you used to love yourself. His interests, her interests, blind, are preferred more than yours. And then automatically, these others fall in perfect place. Because you start, that's true. Now for the first time in your life, you can be married. Because it's not, it's the mixing. Marriage is just the mixing of body, soul, and spirit. But you can't mix, you can't be married until you first love your neighbor. I don't care how many certificates or how many kids you have. You cannot be married from God's mind until you're first able to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Ready to understand a little bit?
Yeah.
Anybody want to argue? Is that neat?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like these forms of love are additive. I mean, anybody who's ever anybody who's ever been in a romantic relationship knows that at some point in time, that relationship isn't body, soul, and spirit. At some point, that loved one is as a neighbor or as a friend.
But it always fails.
Yeah, but it's almost like as they go up, they encompass
more.
A family encompasses friend and neighbor.
Amen.
I was thinking about that. You know, he says, you know, I never knew you because I was in prison and you didn't visit me and I was hungry and you didn't feed me and all that. It's like what he spoke to is neighbor love. I mean, it's like, you know, he didn't speak to any of the other stuff because that had to be there.
Now, for those of you who your heart's desire, if you're not married, or if you are married and you want it to be better, now a mystery can happen. First see that person as your neighbor. But then you'll find out you can't just do that, my God. The whole human race is my neighbor. Because all I do is see their need, because I'm blind to whatever else. I don't care if they're president.
I was thinking about
the now, all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm going to love that neighbor as I used to love myself before I saw I had leprosy.
Right.
So now can you understand why we haven't studied love yet?
Yeah.
Now, exciting things are going to happen.
Amen.
Now we've left. From the stealth group standpoint, well, now we've entered into, we've broken through the wall of Jerusalem. We haven't entered the temple yet, but we're in the new city now.
I was going to say, it was at the Feast of Tabernacles, when they offer all the things for all the nations, you know, it's like that can only happen.
Amen.
Right at that point where it's like the last thing that, you know, they're in the temple, they're in the temple,
amen.
And they're able to see the world. And offer sacrifices for these people.
Freely.
Amen.
That's your heritage. That's what's set before you that far away. You got it? Take it, big guy.